the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Wanna take a ride? Broadcasting from the sprawling outskirts of the Florida Everglades, in the intellectual wilderness of South Lodola, the outer regions of humanity that people move to just because it doesn't snow. This is the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, welcome to a Tuesday. Oh my goodness, I'm Nicole Sandler. Sorry I wasn't here Friday. I've been battling, I don't know. I say it's the flu. I don't know if it was actually the flu, but I've been sick and battling this winter. It's not even winter yet. It just feels like winter. But excuse my voice today. I've been coughing and hacking and sneezing and mucusy and ugh, all that stuff. I've been living on chicken soup for the last 4 days. But we're here because the show must go on. And oh my goodness, there's so much happening. I'm apologizing in advance because my brain is a bit foggy from being sick. but I'll do my best to get through the day. There's so much going on that I guess we should actually start with. I'm going to skip the funny today because, again, there's too much to talk about. And if I had something current that was about, you know, Donald Trump being impeached, I'd do that, but I don't. In addition to being sick, over the weekend, see, I took the day off Friday, obviously, because I couldn't get out of bed. The new computer arrived, actually, on Thursday. I thought I would set it up Friday. I didn't get out of bed Friday. But I took the weekend off from going to the animal shelter where I volunteer to work with the doggies and help get them adopted because, again, I was sick. My audio is not in sync. So here's the thing. I'm sure it's not because my video is not in sync with me. So I got the new computer. I set it up Saturday and Sunday. And I've done this easily a dozen times, and I'm being really, I don't know if I'm being conservative or liberal there. I've done it so many times. I have rebuilt the studio. I've set up computers to do what I do, and you know, it's a pain in the ass, but I'm able to do it. It did not work this time, and so I spent all day Saturday dealing with it. I spent hours on Sunday on the line with tech support, getting it going. So everything is new here. So I set up the software that I use to stream to YouTube. And today's the first time I'm using it. And when I turned on the camera, I realized it's about a second or two off. I don't know why. It wasn't like this before. So that's, you know, one of the things I'm going to have to work on. So I really apologize that the sync is off. It's off by like a half a second, it looks like, but still it's off. And I know that's annoying. So I apologize. It's on my list to work on. I'm having audio issues. I couldn't get the computer to recognize my audio mixer. So I spent Saturday in tears because I couldn't get this thing going and I was sick. So yeah, I haven't been doing myself any favors. And then I'm a sucker. I know I often don't come across as a really nice person because I can really be just a bitch. I know I can be just an awful, horrible bitch at times. I'm a really loyal friend. And Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen are dear, dear friends of mine. And they do their show they live in a lovely apartment in the Hollywood Hills, and they have another studio apartment in the same complex where they live that has this huge, beautiful backyard that's filled with shrubbery, that's filled with greenery, with trees and stuff. And, you know, with the recent fires in California, they're finding that a lot of these fires have been set off because all the greenery is now brown because everything's dry. And in many cases, it's touching the power lines. Well, that's the case in Brad and Desi's backyard in this beautiful oasis of green that's probably a little bit brown now. So finally, after years of not dealing with it, the landlord decided they're going to clean it out. So they have people with chainsaws out there making hellacious noise, so they can't do a show from their studio. And with all the news that's happening, I couldn't say no when they said, any chance you could fill in for us? Now, Angie Coiro occasionally fills in for Brad as well. She's sick. So, I guess I could say I'm sick. I can't do it. But if I'm able to talk, anyway. So I did the show yesterday. By the way, the broadcast from Monday, December 9th, from what I hear, turned out to be a great show because it was dealing with the impeachment hearing that happened yesterday. And I recapped all the news and everything. I haven't heard it, but Brad tells me it was a great show. It would have been even if I wasn't sick. So anyway, I'm in for Brad and Desi again today. God, it's really warm in here. Anyway, so if there are technical problems today more than usual, I apologize. Hopefully there will be fewer, but this is our virgin maiden voyage. Sounds like a bad case of noise pollution. Okay, I don't know. Anyway, so that's the story here. Now on to the news. Oh my goodness, what a day. I'll tell you what, since my voice is shot, I did an extended version of What's News this morning, recorded it, because again, there's so much happening. So let's do that right now to get the news out of the way. Then we'll bring Got a Laugh on, and there's oh so much to talk about. So take it away, Nicole. Keep my fingers crossed that this works.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Today, in service to our duty to the Constitution and to our country, the House Committee on the Judiciary is introducing two articles of impeachment charging the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, with committing high crimes and misdemeanors.
Welcome to history. Tuesday morning, House Democrats officially announced two articles of impeachment. House Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler continued.
The first article is for abuse of power. It is an impeachable offense for the president to exercise the powers of his public office to obtain an improper personal benefit while ignoring or injuring the national interest. That is exactly what President Trump did when he solicited and pressured Ukraine to interfere in our 2020 presidential election, thus damaging our national security, undermining the integrity of the next election, and violating his oath to the American people.
Adam Schiff, chair of the House Intelligence Committee, added,
"We stand here today because the president's continuing abuse of his power has left us no choice. To do nothing would make ourselves complicit in the president's abuse of his high office, the public trust, and our national security. The president's misconduct is as simple and as terrible as this. President Trump solicited a foreign nation, Ukraine, to publicly announce investigations into his opponent and a baseless conspiracy theory promoted by Russia to help his reelection campaign. President Trump abused the power of his office by conditioning two official acts to get Ukraine to help his reelection: the release of hundreds of millions of dollars in military aid that nation desperately needed, and a White House meeting with an ally trying to fend off Russian aggression. In so doing, he undermined our national security and jeopardized the integrity of our next election. And he does so still. The evidence of the president's misconduct is overwhelming and uncontested. And how could it not be when the president's own words on July 25th, 'I would like you to do us a favor, though,' lays so bare his intentions, his willingness to sacrifice the national security for his own personal interests. And when the president got caught, he committed his second impeachable act, obstruction of Congress, of the very ability to make sure that no one is above the law, not even the president of the United States. The evidence is every bit as strong that President Trump has obstructed Congress fully, without precedent, and without basis in law. If allowed to stand, it would decimate Congress's ability to conduct oversight of this president or any other in the future, leaving this president and those who follow to be free to be as corrupt, malfeasant, or incompetent as they would like, with no prospect of discovery or accountability.
The Judiciary Committee is expected to vote on the articles on Thursday. Meanwhile, on the same day, Democrats unveil articles of impeachment for abuse of power and obstructing Congress. They're also handing the president his biggest legislative win since his tax scam bill passed in 2017 by making a deal on the USMCA, or NAFTA 2.0 trade deal. And Trump meets with Russia's foreign minister Sergei Lavrov in the Oval Office once again. It's closed to the press. Just another day in America. Of course, we're still reeling from all that happened on Monday. As expected, the Justice Department's Inspector General released a report on the origins of the FBI's Russia investigation, but it rejected Trump's claim of a conspiracy against him. The Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, reported that investigators found, quote, no documentary or testimonial evidence of anti-Trump bias in the investigation, and that there was sufficient evidence to justify launching the inquiry known as Crossfire Hurricane. Horowitz found that officials followed procedures by approaching campaign aides using informants, but also found that investigators committed some serious errors. However, Attorney General William Barr publicly disagreed with the Inspector General, saying, quote, the FBI launched an intrusive investigation of a U.S. presidential campaign on the thinnest of suspicions that, in my view, were insufficient to justify the steps taken. Although we expect nothing less from Trump's Roy Cohn, the federal prosecutor working on another investigation into the origins of the probe, John Durham, also weighed in. His statement reads, quote, based on the evidence collected to date, and while our investigation is ongoing, last month we advised the Inspector General that we do not agree with some of the report's conclusions as to predication and how the FBI case was opened. NBC News Kendall Laney on Tuesday morning explained why that statement is so troubling.
It was bad enough that William Barr weighed in and said he disagreed with the Inspector General. We've come to now expect that from the Attorney General. But John Durham has a reputation as an independent actor. He was hired by Eric Holder in the Obama administration to investigate the CIA. He's the U.S. attorney in Connecticut, a sitting U.S. prosecutor. And he just weighed in what looks like a very political way on an investigation that is not over. He said it in his statement, we're still conducting the investigation, but I just wanted you to know I disagree with the Inspector General. And I called around to people, no one has ever seen this before, ever. And what possible law enforcement purpose was achieved by him issuing that statement? Nobody I talked to can think of any. It's entirely political, and it's predictably being hailed on Fox News and by Trump allies. And who knows how long the Durham investigation could last through the election. And so it will have served his purpose because Donald Trump and his allies can say, well, this matter is still under investigation. Durham disagrees. Disregard what the IG said. It's really, really troubling. And no one I've talked to can explain why Durham would have done that.
The current director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, sat for a couple of interviews on Monday and said he's accepted the findings of the Inspector General report.
What's the biggest takeaway and the most important takeaway from the report for you?
Well, I think there's a number of takeaways that are important. One, that we fully cooperated with this independent review. Two, that we fully accept its findings and recommendations. Three, that the Inspector General did not find political bias or improper motivations impacting the opening of the investigation or the decision to use certain investigative tools during the investigations.
Including FISA.
But that the Inspector General did find a number of instances where employees either failed to follow our policies, neglected to exercise appropriate diligence, or in some other way fell short of the standard of conduct and performance that we and that I, as director, expect of all of our employees. But again, we are, and I am, ordering 40, over 40 corrective actions to address all of those things in a way that's robust and serious. And we're determined to learn the lessons from this report and make sure the FBI emerges from this even better and stronger.
Ooh, Trump didn't like that. On Tuesday morning, the president tweeted his disagreement with Wray, saying, "I don't know what report current director of the FBI Christopher Wray was reading, but it sure wasn't the one given to me. With that kind of attitude, he will never be able to fix the FBI, which is badly broken despite having some of the greatest men and women working there." Do I detect another firing coming? Now, you also may recall that the first time Sergei Lavrov visited Trump in the Oval Office, he had just fired then FBI Director Jim Comey and bragged that things would be easier now because of that. Of course, the main attraction Monday was the House Judiciary Committee's impeachment hearing, in which the Democrats' Intelligence Committee counsel Daniel Goldman laid out the case against Donald Trump.
As has been made clear by irrefutable evidence from throughout the government, Russia interfered in the last election in order to help then-candidate Trump. The allegations about Vice President Biden and the 2016 election are patently false. But that did not deter President Trump during his phone call with the Ukrainian president, and it does not appear to deter him today. Just 2 days ago, President Trump stated publicly that he hopes that his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, will report to the Department of Justice and to Congress the results of Mr. Giuliani's efforts in Ukraine last week to pursue these false allegations meant to tarnish Vice President Biden. President Trump's persistent and continuing effort to coerce a foreign country to help him cheat to win an election is a clear and present danger to our free and fair elections and to our national security.
And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on the donate button.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Okay, now this will be interesting. Again, we're trying out everything new. So every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh and we'll talk about what's happening in the news. There's lots to talk about today, but so first we got to get her on the line. So let's see if it works. Hello.
Why, yes.
Yay.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yay. Well, you've reached the What World Leaders Say Behind Trump's Back hotline.
Oh, okay.
Press 1 if you think they say Trump sleeps with a nightlight on. Press 2 if you think they say Nancy Pelosi not only has bigger balls than Trump, but she also does her makeup better.
That absolutely.
Press 3 if you think they say it took Trump 15 flushes to get rid of the phone call transcript.
Oh, God. It takes him 15 flushes I don't know. Who takes 15 flushes? I get it. He's talking about low-flow toilets. I get it. Maybe you have to flush twice, perhaps? 15
Maybe.
Times? What is wrong with this man?
I don't know. What was wrong? And he's talking about when you turn on the shower, it's just a little drip, drip, drip. Whose shower just drips? What is that?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's Mar-a-Lago, I guess, and the Doral, you know, resort with the bed bugs. They get drip, drip, drip out of the shower.
Drip, drip is in the White House.
I guess. I don't know.
He said drip.
Know. Drip. So, you know what? I just posted a question to the YouTube chat room, and I didn't see what the answer is. Have you read the articles of impeachment that were released?
I skimmed them. Yeah, I did it, read as much as I could in a short amount of time.
It's only 9 pages long.
Yeah.
And actually, I recorded it, again, because I'm filling in for Brad Friedman tonight. And so I thought that'll take up some time. and I figured it's easier to record it than try to, you know, do it live because I wind up coughing every couple of minutes. So we'll see. Maybe at the end of our discussion here, we'll play it because I know a lot of people aren't going to read it. And it's fascinating.
It's
history. This is history. I'll post the link to the actual document. Again, it's 9 pages. It's actually 8 1/4 pages. And
it's a quick read, too.
It's a legal, you know, document. So all the numbers and pages, all the lines are numbered, and it's not a full page of text. So, you know, it's pretty quick. I see Tom Hartman read them earlier today. Okay, great minds think alike. So we'll get to it a little later. But I don't even know where to begin.
Well, he did everything he could to destroy our country.
Yes.
He did everything he could to destroy democracy.
Yes.
He's got accomplices surrounding him now. He has nobody to tell him no anymore. And now we've got the Republicans who are aiding and abetting because they're his accomplices. And they only care about one thing, and that's white power. No women allowed. No people of color allowed. I hate that phrase, but you know what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
I wish there was a better way to say that because that just doesn't make sense. But anyway, and they don't care if they destroy us to get that because they'll have control of everything. And the way it's going, that will happen because I don't see how the Senate is going to convict.
No. And the thing is, they're just listening to them in that hearing yesterday. It was so frustrating because they've all drunk the Kool-Aid. And actually, I don't think any of them actually believe it. The fact that they're lying to protect this heinous excuse for a human being, it just makes no sense. They're going to put their legacies on the line for Donald Trump.
I have something about that. Can we go to tweets? Because I've got a
yeah.
Bunch
let's
of
go
them.
To tweets. All right, hold on. Got to find here. Where my tweet? There we go. All right, fingers crossed. It's everything is new today. Everything is new here. All right.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Oh, this is the wrong one. I got to change this again. Okay. So what are your Twitter friends saying?
That was the extended version.
That was the extended version. And the Jackson 5 version too. So in case
you're wondering. Oh, that's right. Yep. It was bouncier too.
Yep. Yeah, it was.
Okay, so here's the thing. You were talking about their legacy. So this morning I tweeted something that it's one of my pet peeves. I have like 2 or 3 pet peeves that I repeat a lot because all day, every day, because that Twitter is my domain, more or less, I see the same stupid-ass stuff all day. And so it gets to me. Okay, so I tweeted out, no offense to anyone using this line, but I'm sick to death of the default phrase, history will not be kind to blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I said that because by the time history records, we'll be gone. And now is all that matters.
That's
now
right.
Is because if we can't stop the atrocities right now, then history won't matter. We
that's
won't
true.
Be here to talk about it.
You're right. And it's that's so, and that's okay, how so, Trump thinks, too. He doesn't care that he's helping to speed up the destruction of the planet because he'll be dead and gone. He doesn't give a shit about his children and grandchildren, and certainly not yours. He doesn't care. He doesn't care that the market will totally crash. We're going to have a huge economic meltdown once he stops using socialism to pay off all the farmers that he fucked over with his tariffs. I mean, he doesn't care. I don't know if he knows.
Okay, well,
he knows it'll all come crashing down. He just doesn't care.
He doesn't care. Well, he's not the only one. And here's why the timing was impeccable.
Uh-huh.
Trump's strong. This is from Huffington Post.
Okay.
Trump's strongest allies in Congress don't care how history will remember them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to say, I don't care how I'm remembered, Representative Jim Jordan told Huffington Post. I care that the American people elected this guy president. He's doing a great job, blah, blah, blah. And then he wasn't the only one. Meadows also said he doesn't care. Most of the historical commentary will be about the process more than the individuals, Meadows said. And really? Collins added history writes itself. And I mean, you know, I think there were more. I'm not going to go through this whole article. But basically, it proves my point. I don't care how I'm remembered, Jim Jordan said. We don't care either. All I care about, frankly, is how we fix it right now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have time for people to worry about history writing about what happened now, because by that time, historians will probably rewrite it anyway. So it's just one of those things that is just getting under my skin over and over. And then out came that article.
Uh-huh. I hear you. We've talked about opposite world for so many years.
Oh, yeah.
But never has it been more apparent, pronounced than right now. Everything is just batshit crazy. It's the opposite of what it should be. Nothing makes sense. This whole Bill Barr thing today. Oh my God.
So I have tweets about that too, of course.
Okay. So, but Bill Barr, the attorney general, who we knew, who wrote this bullshit summary of the Mueller report and put it out, and let that be the only all the information we had about the Mueller report for, what, 3 weeks or so before we actually saw the thing, did it again. And on based on this inspector general's report, and the inspector general works for him. I mean,
I know. At least we had the advantage of some of having the report come out first.
Yes. Exactly. But so then today he sits and does an interview with
that's another one of my
Pete Williams. NBC News, who I thought was better than that.
I did too. I have tweets about this too. I mean, we're in so in sync today about, I mean, Pete Williams let him gaslight us for, 20 minutes?
I didn't watch the whole thing. I have a three minute clip of it. And that's about all I could stomach before I puked again. Now, it could be the flu or it could be. No, I think it's Bill Barr. I tweeted out yesterday when the hearing was happening, can the attorney general be impeached? Now, I know technically he can. Yes. But with the Senate, he can't be. But that tweet got more retweets than anything else I put out yesterday. So people are pissed, as they should be.
Yeah.
So in case you didn't hear it, let me play a little bit of it until I just get so sick of it and I can't stand it anymore. But listen to this. Someone tweeted to me a picture of John Mitchell's booking photo. John Mitchell famously was Richard Nixon's attorney general, who wound up going to jail for his role in the cover-up and everything associated with that Watergate. Bill Barr belongs in jail, too. All right, here's a little bit of the Pete Williams interview.
Mr. Attorney General, why do you say that the FBI opened the investigation of the Trump campaign on the thinnest of suspicions?
Well, I'm glad to get into the issue of predication, but let me just start out by saying that I think you have to put this in context. I think the heart of the IG's report really focused on how the investigation was conducted once it got going, and that is especially the very serious abuses of FISA that occurred, much of which has been, in my view, not accurately reported by the press over the last day. But in one area, I do disagree with the IG, and that was whether there was sufficient predication.
Okay. No, I'm sorry.
sickening. I can't stand his voice,
me either.
His looks.
Yep.
Well, I'll skip to my tweets about him then, because I can go back to the impeachment tweets and the other ones, because I have all sorts of things to tell you. But Chris Hayes tweeted last night, Frank Figluzzi described Barr as, quote, shopping for outcomes, and how he's now basically come out and admitted that. Gonna be awesome when DOJ opens a criminal investigation into whoever the Democratic nominee is in 2020.
Right. Well, did you hear in the hearing, Gohmert said we're gonna impeach whoever the Democrats nominate, or some nonsense like that yesterday.
I happen to miss that sentence because I tune him out when he opens his big fat mouth. But I'm sure they will. They'll nothing is going to stop them. Nothing.
No, no. This is beyond any kind of partisanship that I've ever seen before. And things have been weird. I mean, things have been contentious for years, but I've never on this level. I don't know that anything that this can be figured. I honestly don't know that we can come back from this. I really think Donald Trump has destroyed the Republic. You know, what did, who said it? Benjamin Franklin, a Republic, if you can keep it. We can't keep it. Donald Trump killed it.
He killed it. And we anticipated that. I know you did. I know I did. And I'm looking at as I think I've said this to you before, I look at, you know, my Twitter stream and I'm looking at the election tweets and oh, here's Elizabeth Warren on the stump doing this. And oh, here's Biden on the stump. And they're acting as if everything is normal. We're having an election and we're on the stump and we're, you know, giving speeches. It's not normal. Nothing is normal. All the candidates should get on a stage together and make that pronouncement because we are in real danger. We are past the point of being in danger now. And even if we win, I don't know if we can. I mean, with the interference that he's going to encourage and indulge and allow, I don't think, you know, we can feel safe that we'll have a normal election by any stretch.
Absolutely not. I have no confidence whatsoever. And actually, you know what? I need to get Brad Friedman on this show once the noise dies down where he lives. you know, we spoke the other day and he told me, I mean, off the air, he has never been as worried about an election as he is about this coming election.
Yeah.
He says,
absolutely.
There's no safeguards on anything. And this is his main focus. I mean, Brad is all over election integrity.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. No, I'm with him. I've been saying that for months. In fact, I said that I think the week that Trump got in, that our elections are bye-bye because there's already enough problems. You know, just if we had a real president with morals and ethics and things like that, our elections are in real danger.
Yep.
Just with Republican antics, you know, and gerrymandering and voter suppression and election interference of other kinds from other countries and so on. But with Trump in charge and Barr in charge, that's never going to get fixed. And with the Supreme Court. So
I know.
So John Harwood had a bunch of tweets about this. Uh-huh. He said, Barr says the nation was convulsed by a, quote, completely bogus Trump-Russia narrative. That is false. It was not bogus. Mueller found that Trump campaign welcomed Russia's illicit assistance and exploited it, and also extensive evidence that Trump obstructed justice to cover that up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then he goes on to say, in interview with Pete Williams, Attorney General Barr suggests that Obama administration and its FBI pose greater threat to American democracy than the Russians. And he goes on to say he continues to question the opening of the FBI investigation that the Justice Department Inspector General said was justified. He's talking about Hillary's secret server, all-out defense of Trump. He continues to say Mueller found there was no collusion. That is false.
Mm-hmm.
Mueller found that he could not establish a conspiracy to collude, not that there was no evidence of it. To the contrary, Mueller found that Trump campaign welcomed Russian interference and exploited it. Putin could not serve Trump's purposes any better than Barr in this interview. And I might add, me now, any better than the media and any better than the Republicans in Congress. Putin has been helped by them all, which I'll get into about the media. Well, here, Will Wilkinson, Will Wilkinson.
I don't know.
Niskanen Center VP for Research, New York Times. Okay.
Okay.
Barr is sensationally mendacious and corrupt. It's deeper than cellular. It's like even his mitochondria lie. And he has a thread that I didn't go with. And then I said he shouldn't be allowed on air to spew his lies, gaslighting, and propaganda.
Right.
MSNBC and NBC News.
Yep. Yeah. No, look, the thing is, you know what? I don't fault them for airing it. It's newsworthy. I'd love an interview with Bill Barr. What I find fault with was Pete Williams' interview. Why don't you, you know, he's a news guy. He's a, the justice correspondent for NBC News.
Yeah.
And he usually does a very good job. He does a good job reporting on what's happening.
Does.
He's obviously not an interviewer. Why didn't they have somebody who knows how to ask tough questions and follow up on questions? Pete Williams was not the guy to do this interview, and maybe
that's why Bill Barr
said, all right, I'll sit with Pete Williams. I don't know how it all came together, but wow.
But no. I bet you're right. No, but that's exactly why I said they shouldn't have aired this interview live, or not live, but you know, in its entirety. They knew what it was before they aired it.
Yeah.
So there was no reason.
Well, because I get it. They had an interview with Bill Barr. It's newsworthy. It just was a shitty interview.
But that's exactly the point.
Right.
That's
they're not going to hold it because it's a shitty
interview. No, they're not going to hold it, but how dare they is what I'm saying. How dare they?
Right. No, I hear you.
Digby said, oh my God, this Barr interview with Pete Williams is going to make your heads explode. He is insane.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
While I was watching, I kind of like dipped my ear in and out of it, like I was doing stuff, and then I'd look over, you know. Barr called WikiLeaks Wikipedia, and Pete Williams had to correct him. He didn't even catch his own mistake.
Oh my God.
That's how he's horrible. He's a horrible person in every way. Okay, Barbara Morrill, Barbara in MD. She's in Barb in Maryland, MD.
Okay.
Standing for Maryland. She's with Daily Kos. She said Williams absolutely sucks in this quote interview. He's letting Barr peddle BS nonstop. Doesn't challenge him. Doesn't bother to mention indictments. Guilty pleas. And the framing of the questions. Oi! Seriously, did Barr prepare the questions for this thing?
She said,
yes, I agree. As a reporter, he generally is pretty good. As an interviewer, this
sucks.
Was like an audition for Fox.
Horrible. Horrible.
Just awful.
Yeah.
Just terrible.
Terrible.
And that's what I meant when I said they shouldn't have aired it. They should have redone it or said, you know what, we'll air clips, we'll show, and then we'll have somebody rebut it. But to air it, just let it go and let him spew his propaganda. Let him just say anything he wants without being challenged. No, that's irresponsible journalism. It's malpractice.
Yeah, there's something when Pete Williams, when you're doing an interview, you listen to the answers. You don't just read down your list of questions that you have written out. You listen to the answers so you can follow up on what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just saying.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Back to I'm under the weather too, so I'm tired. When I expend energy, I just get like, oh my God, I just deflated. Anyway, and here you go coughing. Oh no. Lawrence Tribe. He said, by charging a constitutional crime even more serious and sweeping than garden variety bribery, the House isn't just avoiding a distracting legalistic fight over labels. It's making the gravest accusation possible short of treason, which is total betrayal of the Constitution and his oath. Absolutely right.
And that's the point that's made over and over again in the articles of impeachment. It goes to the Constitution. Donald Trump I'm losing the words. My brain is foggy today. But he's not holding up to his oath that he took to protect the Constitution in any way, shape, or form. I mean, they keep going back to that anyway.
Right. Yeah. So they say that it's him over country. It's him over security. Trying to personalize it a little bit for America, who's watching. Hey, guys, it's more. He's all about him. He's not about you. That's their overarching message there, other than the obvious stuff. Their more personalized message is, America, he's screwing you over.
Uh-huh.
Pay attention. Okay, so do you have the clip of Representative Cohen before I'm going to read my tweet, and then can you play that?
Yep.
Oh, good. Okay.
Ready to go.
So I thanked, I'll read it first, then you, because it'll make sense, because mine's just a commentary before you play it.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Representative Cohen, for calling out MSNBC on the air to their face, for airing so much of the GOP response, and for calling it what it is, propaganda, because they aired an entire press conference. I didn't watch it. I couldn't. But of the Republicans, after Nancy Pelosi and the others were out on doing theirs about impeachment,
right?
The articles, they aired the Republican response, which was nothing than what we've already seen. And Representative Cohen got on air, which you're going to play, and called them out. And I couldn't have been happier. And I posted that immediately. And he retweeted Representative Cohen. Nice. Retweeted it because he knows no one does that. No one calls them out.
Right. No. Okay. So here's what he said.
Time will show that there's probably more there than Mueller could finally get to. Bill Barr ended the Mueller investigation. If it had time to go on, who knows what it would have found. I found it unbelievable to listen to that press conference and that you put it on for the whole length, unless you were waiting for lightning to strike, because biblically it should have. I don't understand why you'd have that propaganda on for that long. The Republicans have nothing but propaganda to put out. They can't defend the facts, so they go after the procedure, and they put out lies. The FBI did not show that there was spying on the president. That was not true. The IG's report shows the FBI did they made certain small mistakes, but they did not make a mistake in investigating the contacts to Russia with the Trump campaign. And the FBI should not be sullied.
Okay. And so the anchor, the host at that time was a guy, Candace Gibson, who was filling in for someone else. I think Craig Melvin. And anybody's better than Craig Melvin. I'm sorry. I just can't watch that guy. But he just... He didn't even acknowledge it. He just moved right on to something else.
He did. But the other thing that Cohen said was that he thinks the Mueller report was cut short.
Yeah, he did. Well, he said at the beginning that Barr cut it short. Of course he did. Yeah. Of course he did.
And I want to make that point,
Who knows what else they would have found if it was allowed to continue. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. All right, so while I'm, bashing MSNBC, I'm going to do it again.
Okay.
Yes, MSNBC, I tweeted, go ahead and interview diehard Trump supporters about impeachment as if they would say anything different than they've said every time you've interviewed them for the over 3 years. And just by the way, after I tweeted that, like the next hour or 2 hours later, they replayed the interview, and I didn't retweet myself, but I said, you're doing it again, basically. You know, what do you hope to accomplish other than spreading more propaganda?
You know, that channel is getting worse and worse, and it's really sad because, you know, I flip back and forth between MSNBC and CNN. David, my husband, won't even watch MSNBC anymore. He's so disgusted with them. So he watches CNN, who's just as bad. We have nowhere to go. We have no, you know, mainstream
national
media
TV,
outlet.
Yeah.
PBS, I wasn't feeling well yesterday, and I was working so hard, and I saw Lisa Desjardins, who used to be on CNN and is now on PBS, tweeted, used the Republican talking point. She tweeted, where's Adam Schiff? And then...
Oh, I saw your tweets with her.
And then she posts a picture, I guess, it retweeted Stephanie Miller, who was at Adam Schiff's holiday party. In California, he's her congressman. And Stephanie Miller wrote something about my smooth jazz master or something like that. So Lisa Desjardins decided that Stephanie Miller was a smooth jazz radio host. And I tweeted back to her, I'm like, this is the laziest so-called reporting I've ever seen. First of all, why are you echoing right-wing talking points? Second of all, Stephanie Miller is not a smooth jazz radio host. Do your research. Be a journalist. And she, you know, I got to tell, I give her all the props in the world because I was an asshole, which I can be on Twitter from time to time, in case you don't know. I'm admitting it now. I'm Nicole Sandler, and I'm an asshole on Twitter. Often. Just saying. So... and again, I was in a shitty mood. I wasn't feeling well. I was overworked. I shouldn't have been on Twitter anyway because I was doing Brad's show yesterday. But it was my, you know, my release, I guess.
Yeah,
and she kept coming back to me and saying, that's not what I meant. And I'm so sorry. And she was so gracious. I'm like, what a class act. I would have blocked me by now. But she went back and corrected it. And she changed it to, where's Adam Schiff? Is what the Republicans keep asking. Thank you very much. And then she corrected that Stephanie Miller is not a smooth jazz host, but a progressive talk show host. But
well,
yeah.
Good. Then you accomplished something. That's good.
I guess.
In your own inimitable way, but okay, that worked.
Wait, hold on. What? I can be an asshole off Twitter too, David says.
Well, who isn't? I mean, I join the club. Adam Klasfeld, who is a courthouse news reporter, he's really good, by the way. He said, this is about Pelosi and the USMCA.
Okay.
Speaker Pelosi on the timing of impeachment and the USMCA, quote, this is a Pelosi quote, no, it's not a coincidence. It's that we get to the end of a session and there have to be some decisions made. And then he goes on, this is a little thread here. He goes on to say, Chairman Richard Neal on the same topic, he said other parties to the deal were very anxious to bring it forward, and then asked how Democrats can depict Trump as an existential threat to democracy while working with him on major legislation, Pelosi responds, I would say that we came a long way from what he originally proposed. And then he goes on to Adam Klasfeld says, it's not a victory for Trump, Pelosi says, quote, we're declaring victory for the American worker, Neil, quote, this is a hemispheric trade agreement. That's how important it is, unquote. After a reporter notes it's a whiplash morning, Pelosi quips, the day is young, and everybody laughs. So, yeah, really frustrating. So then Jamil Smith, who's he with now? He is with Rolling Stone. He said, I'm not saying that he did a thread, but I'm just going to read you the one. Okay. I'm not saying that Democrats shouldn't do their jobs and govern, but stepping on your own historic news, announcing this trade deal and handing Trump an unequivocal victory moments after you put forth articles of impeachment seems to be failing the lessons of the Trump era.
What, say that again?
Okay, he's saying stepping all over themselves, just bigfooting their own historic impeachment by agreeing to the trade deal and handing him a victory right after you put out the article seems to be failing the lessons of the Trump era. He said, I'm not saying they shouldn't do their jobs and, you know, make a deal and govern, but doing it now is kind of like, haven't you learned anything?
Okay, now, I fully agree with you, and I was pissed. It's like, really? I mean, you heard in What's News, the same day that they introduce articles of impeachment, they give Trump his biggest legislative victory of his, you know, term, aside from the tax scam bill in 2017. But I agree. Here's the flip side. One of the talking points of the Republicans is that, you know, the Democrats, all they're doing is, you know, impeachment. They've been saying that they can walk and chew gum at the same time. This proves it, I guess. Now, on another note, on this USMCA, I reached out to Lori Wallach, who is the she's the trade person at Global Trade Watch. She is the person that I used to talk to all the time about, what was the one that, my brain is a fog now. I'm so sorry. I just
TPP?
The TPP. Thank you. So throughout NAFTA, throughout TPP negotiations, all that, she was my go-to person. And so she's coming on with me tomorrow. I had no idea what her opinion of it is. I'll find out. We're going to actually record an interview tomorrow morning. Just moments ago, I got an email from her at the statement that her office released, and it says redo of USMCA better than original NAFTA after year-long effort to improve Trump's 2018 deal. And then it says union consumer groups and congressional Democrats achieve removal of big pharma giveaways and strengthening of labor, environmental standards and enforcement. So, you know, I thought Nancy Pelosi was just blowing smoke when she was talking about how, you know, it's so much better than it was because she had to make an excuse for doing it. But apparently it's better than it was. So,
yeah, well, I have also read that. And I'm really glad about that. Uh-huh. I'm not anti them trying to fix this.
Right.
But
just think if it
timing.
Was the Republicans, if the situation were reversed and the Republicans were impeaching a Democratic president, they would not give that. They never gave Obama any victory on anything, let alone this. So Nancy Pelosi is trying to show that we're better than them. A lot of good that gets us.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, doing the right thing, unfortunately, gets you nowhere.
Yep.
And And yes, I think she may have done the right thing if it was, of course, a different world and we didn't have the Republicans that we have today.
Right.
But because of the timing, because here we are trying to, you know, impeach the guy and show what a horrible, dishonest crook he is, and then go, okay, but now I'll do a deal with him and he'll get all the credit. What does that give us? I mean, it gives us a better deal, yes. Ultimately, that's the goal.
Right. And so I guess that's good. But I wouldn't give Donald Trump one iota. I'd give him nothing. Because
well, they give us nothing
exactly.
In the Senate.
Exactly. And I know we should be better than that. But fuck him. Get that asshole out of office. Let's get a Democrat in charge and let's get some shit done. But
I'm
people need to show up and vote for that to happen. And we need to turn out in such huge numbers to overcome all their voter suppression bullshit.
Yep, we sure do. Yeah. Here's Laura Bassett. She's quote tweeting Jonathan Allen.
Okay.
He is with NBC. And oops, my cursor got in the way. First, Jonathan Allen. He said Doug Collins is on Fox arguing that violations of the Constitution are not impeachable offenses if they are not violations of criminal statute.
What?
That position suggests the Constitution derives its power from statute and not the other way around. So Laura Bassett, who is, I think she's freelancing now. Yeah. She said, it seems like every GOP argument is against impeachment itself rather than a specific defense of Trump. Like if I didn't want to go to the dentist and instead of saying my teeth are fine, I said dentists are problematic.
Right. And remember, these are the same people who impeached Bill Clinton because he got a blowjob in the Oval Office. Okay, they say it's because he lied under oath. Donald Trump lies every time he opens his fucking mouth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And he won't go under oath. And actually, he did lie under oath in his written responses to the Mueller questions that he answered.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but of course, that's not going to enter into it. Anything Mueller, other than a sort of an allusion, there is an allusion to the Mueller report in the articles, but it's you have to look twice to see it. They're leaving Mueller out of it because basically Barr sabotaged all that.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have anything to grasp onto.
Right.
So Greg Sargent has a thread. I only saw the first one or two, I think. So he's added since then. Trump's tacit threat to fire his FBI director should be seen as a very clear declaration that his efforts to manipulate the levers of government for corrupt purposes will continue unchecked. That in itself argues for a broader impeachment. He said, here's my worry. If there's no article for obstruction, that clears the field for Trump and Barr to keep using the levers of government to try to make Russia's sabotage of the 2016 election and Trump's efforts to benefit from it disappear. And then he goes on to say, please stop saying the IG report gave, quote, both sides, quote, way to claim vindication. That's just false.
Yep.
Trump's core claim for years has been that the Russia investigation was, quote, illegitimate and a coup against him. That has been completely debunked.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I'm right there with him.
Yep.
I am right there with him.
I hear you. Yep.
Tulsi Gabbard says she won't participate in December debate if she qualifies.
Oh, no. Well, she probably won't qualify. Andrew Yang qualified today.
Yeah, he just qualified. Yep. Yeah, just got that alert, too. So that's seven people so far that qualified.
Well, are you counting Kamala Harris? Because she had qualified, but she's not going to be there.
That are going to be in it, I think.
Right. Okay.
I think that was the release, that seven people so far were active. I think it said active candidates.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, she says that... what does she say? For a number of reasons, I've decided not to attend the December 19th debate, regardless of whether or not there are qualifying polls. I instead choose to spend that precious time directly meeting with and hearing from the people of New Hampshire and South Carolina. In other words, she needs more support.
Yes.
Okay. Here's something that isn't going to happen unless for some reason Nancy Pelosi sees that she doesn't have the votes. But I'm going to tell you about it anyway. Kyle Chaney of Politico, I think he is.
Uh-huh.
He said, around 10 to 12 moderate Democrats are floating censure instead of impeachment.
I saw this. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
And and Layla Lalami, a Pulitzer Prize finalist, said, I used to think some Democrats were in deep denial about the threat posed by the president, but the only way to interpret this move is that they just don't care what happens to the country and especially to its most vulnerable people, so long as they get to keep their seats. And now I just remembered another tweet. They said that the reason they left Mueller out was to, I guess, appease those same moderate Democrats who weren't behind 100% behind impeachment
right.
until
yes.
they took it out.
Because apparently they were arguing against including any of the Mueller stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad we remembered that one. Okay. Ian Millhiser has some decent news here.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court appears likely to shut down a $12 billion Republican scheme to sabotage Obamacare. Quote, as many as six justices appeared bothered by a Republican effort to undercut the Affordable Care Act.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's good to know, because that's the only reason I have health insurance right now.
Yeah. That's why I put that in today, because of you.
Ah, well, thank you.
I thought of you.
Thank you.
My little Nicole.
Yeah. Can I ask, are you up there? There was an active shooter situation. I know it's Tuesday.
In New Jersey.
Have you heard anything about this? I know
it was somebody,
he shot a cop and then he was injured.
A couple of them.
Shooting after he was hurt. That's all I know.
At this time, this incident does not appear to be connected to terrorism or hate crime attack. It appears to have stemmed from a local criminal matter. One police officer is dead, two others shot, and one civilian has been shot in the shooting incident in Jersey City, New Jersey. Those two officers and one civilian are stable and expected to survive.
Okay. Ay-ay-ay. Every day. It's every day.
Every fucking day. Andrew Prokop. He is a senior politics correspondent at Vox. He's quote tweeting here, Lisa Page. Mm-hmm. Remember Lisa Page?
Sure, Peter Strzok. Lisa, yep. Lisa. Who can forget Donald Trump?
And
I didn't
Lisa.
Even watch his shit, but all this stuff just permeates the atmosphere. And we know that Donald Trump acted out a sex scene at one of his Nuremberg rallies between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok.
Well, she says, and I'm quoting her tweet here, and then I'll read you what Andrew Prokop said. She said, I sued the Department of Justice and the FBI today.
Good for her.
Yep, that's what I said. I take a little joy in having done so, but what they did in leaking my messages to the press was not only wrong, it was illegal. And then she links over to a Lawfare blog entry. But Andrew Prokop said, that makes McCabe, Strzok, and now Page, all now with separate suits against DOJ. McCabe and Strzok regarding their firings, Page regarding the Privacy Act for the release of her texts. And then he goes on to say, Lisa Page's suit focuses on the Department of Justice's decision to release a section of her texts with Strzok to reporters. Text with Strzok to reporters the night before Rod Rosenstein was supposed to testify at a congressional hearing. This event was previously the subject of an FOIA lawsuit by Crew. Good for her.
Yes. You know, speaking of lawsuits, this week, I read, it was in yesterday's What's News, which, yeah, I did. Trump has to defend two emoluments clause lawsuits in court this week. So, yes, I haven't heard anything about them other than the fact that this is happening this week. Two of them are coming before judges. So hopefully we'll get some news on that.
I can guarantee you that Maddow will cover that.
Yeah. Okay.
She covers all the court cases.
Well, you
that
can tell me.
Trump.
I just can't listen to her because it takes her 10 minutes to say one thing. She'll say something and then repeat it and then repeat it again. And just in case you didn't understand what she said the first three times, she'll repeat it again.
That never bothers me. I know it bothers a lot of people. It doesn't bother me. In fact, sometimes I appreciate it because I'm not listening. I'll be doing something and I'll go, oh, crap. What did she just say? And then she'll repeat it. I'll go, thank you. Okay, so this is from yesterday. This is when we were having the hearings and stuff. First of all, Ronna Romney McDaniel, the GOP chair, she was saying, where's Adam Schiff? After lying about his contact with a whistleblower in Trump's call, he's nowhere to be found. Right. Why won't he testify? What's he hiding? And then Katie Fang, I hope that's how you say it, maybe Fong, she's an MSNBC legal analyst, and she said, where's Pompeo? Where's Bolton?
Exactly.
Where's Eisenberg?
I saw
where's
that. I think I retweeted that.
There's Nunes. Yeah, it was great. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And then Mieke Oyang said, Castor claiming that Ukraine was interfering with the election because their ambassador wrote that they had concerns about Trump's policy. The Ukrainian statements were less critical than Lindsey Graham tweets about Trump in 2015 and 16.
Yep. No, it's true. It is true.
And then Angry White House staff says, the GOP can't possibly think this is going well for them.
It doesn't matter, I guess, is how they think. Because the lemmings that follow Trump don't care. They just don't care.
They see it through their little rose-colored glasses. Trump is perfect.
Yep.
He's great.
Yep. I just don't get it. All right. Well, we're out of time. I didn't get around to playing the articles of impeachment. So this will be a reminder to you that I will be guest hosting the broadcast again today. As soon as we're done here, I'll upload this show. It'll run on Progressive Voices at 5 Eastern. Podcast will be uploaded. Then I work on the broadcast, which airs on Progressive Voices at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. And it'll be uploaded to bradblog.com as soon as it's done. It will air there. So if you want those articles of impeachment read to you in my raspy, sexy voice, you can get it there.
I don't know how we both got through both under the weather like this.
I don't either.
We did it.
Yeah, we did it. All right. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh and here on Tuesdays. And I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Take care of yourself.
Bye. You too.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. See you later.